I've heard that song many times in my life, and that's always a great reminder. I actually heard it not too long ago. My children asked me, "Now, Dad, what does that mean?" And we talked about that in the car one day, talking about what a lighthouse does for a sailor. Jesus does for us, and He's something we can look to get our bearings straight and live for Him. Luke chapter number 1, if you would please. Of course, the Scripture is 66 books of the Bible contained in one book. The first 39 books were written before Jesus came. The last 27 were written after Jesus went back to heaven. The Old Testament, New Testament, the theme of the Bible is how can stinkers like us be united with a God who's absolutely holy? And that makes Jesus the main character of the Bible, because it's through Jesus that we can have reconciliation. He's the way, the truth, and the light. In the New Testament, there are four books called the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Each of them speak of Jesus. It would be similar to what an intersection, and you have a man standing on all four intersections looking at the same object. But they're looking at him from a different paradigm. Matthew tells us that Jesus is the king. Therefore, you have his lineage from his father's side back to the throne of David. In the book of Mark, he's a servant. And there in the book of Mark, there is no lineage. If you're a slave or a servant, no one really cares who your grandfather was. Your lineage is not necessary. And you'll see in the book of Mark, he is very much moving, going. You'll see the words immediately, straightway, in a hurry. He was going places, serving, going about doing good. In the book of Luke, he's the Son of Man. And here we have much of his story on his mother's side, of Mary. We find he even goes back all the way to Adam and Eve and goes through his entire lineage as a human. And then the book of John, he's the Son of God. The book of Matthew and Luke tell us mostly about the Christmas story. And I enjoy at this season of the year annually to go back and read Luke chapters 1 and 2 and Matthew chapter 1 and 2 as well, and remind myself of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And today we're speaking a little bit about the Psalm of Mary. Mary, once she found out she was carrying the Christ child, she went and visited her kinswoman, not necessarily her cousin, could be her aunt, and she was old enough to be her grandmother, and she went to tell her of the story of what had happened to her. And whenever she did, she got privately alone with God and sang a song of praise to the Lord for what God had done for him. And we'll speak about that in a few moments. Let's do a little bit of history if we can. Begin reading in chapter 1 and verse number 26. The Bible says in the sixth month that angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now let me just give you a little bit of the background here. In Luke chapter 1, we find that there is an old man named Zacharias, and he is a priest. There may have been as many as 24,000 priests at that time, and he was selected to serve in the administration of the temple at the time. And it was an honor for him. And he was married to a lady named Elizabeth, who was a kinswoman or a kinfolk to Mary. But Mary's not introduced yet. Here we find that the story is about Zacharias and Elizabeth. And Elizabeth was barren. She didn't have any children. And it bothered her. It bothered her, and she felt reproached her entire life, because people would ask her, "Where are your kids and who are your children?" And she would have to tell them every time, "No, I don't have any children." And it bothered her. But God had chosen to not give her children at the time. And I'm sure he oftentimes asked her husband, "Honey, would you pray that God would give us children?" And I'm sure he did, and to no avail for a long time. But one day, whenever he was in doing the duties of the priest, an angel of the Lord came to him and said, "Zachariah, your wife's going to have a baby. And he's going to be a very special baby. He's going to prepare the way of the Lord." That little baby would be named John the Baptist. He was told at that moment what his name was supposed to be. And there he was approached by the angel, certainly nervous, probably doing something he would very rarely ever get to do again and probably never did before. And now he's in there, and an angel comes to him, and he said, "Well, now look, hang on a second. You know how old I am?" And do you know how old my wife is? Sounds like something Brother Johnny Colson would say. Amen. Is Mrs. Colson, are you over there this morning? Not today. Well, okay. I'm glad she can hope she's not watching on video. Anyway, he said, you know how old my wife is? It's not going to happen. He goes, oh, it's going to happen. Well, how will I know this will happen? How about this? I will keep your mouth shut for the next 9 months. And for the next 9 months, God gave him the inability to speak. So he walks out. It was obvious something happened inside there. It was a long time in here, inside there. They were expecting to go in and come right back out. And he was there a long time. The people knew something had happened. And they said, what happened? Boop, 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 boop. I can't talk. So he's writing things and he leaves that job and goes to visit his wife. She does conceive. She's going to have a baby. And she goes and hides herself for 5 months just to avoid the press and the paparazzi. She hides herself 5 months and sees her body begin to grow and a baby has been conceived and it's a miracle birth. And John would be someone who would prepare the way of the Lord in the spirit of Elijah and turn the hearts of children to their fathers and fathers to their children and everyone who would listen to the Messiah, Jesus Christ, who was coming after him. Well, that was the miracle that was taking place. And then in the 6th month of her pregnancy, the Bible says that an angel Gabriel came to a young lady who was a virgin. Very important. She wasn't just a young lady. Some of the reasons why we use the King James Version of the Bible is for the purity and strength that it has, and I think an accurate translation. Some other versions say that a young lady would conceive, and the Bible says a virgin would conceive. Very important to know that. Nonetheless, a virgin who was already espoused to a husband. We do our situation. My niece, Brittany, and her fiancé recently got engaged. But we call engagement, then you do your vows later. We have a marriage that we'll have here in our church in short time here. And we'll give the vows then. At the wedding, we do the vows. But in the Jewish custom, they would espouse. That means they would do the vows at their engagement. That's when they made their promise. And then they would later, within usually the next year, and oftentimes as soon as possible, the groom would go away, prepare a place, and make sure the house is ready, meets the standards of the father, and then he would come back and get his bride. And then they would consummate their wedding and their vows and begin living together. So they would do their vows and then he would go away and prepare a place for her and then he would come back and get her and then they would enjoy married life and live together. It was very different. So they had already done the espouse. They had been espoused. They'd already done the engagement. Now Joseph is preparing to be her husband, and she is preparing to be his wife. At that time, the Bible says that angel of the Lord, Gabriel, comes to Mary. And he gives them. I want you to notice something in that verse, if you would please, in verse number 26. And the 6th month, and the angel of Gabriel was sent from God. I want you to notice something, that everything begins with God. It's God's idea to bring the angel to Mary. The Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 6, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. For God so loved the world that He gave. God is the great initiator. Everything begins with God. So I can't stand the theory of evolution. It's ridiculous. Evolution is a fairy tale and millions and millions of years are its magic wand. And it excuses God off of origin so that they can excuse God off the judgment seat, but both are true. Everything begins with God. And by the way, even getting saved, it did not begin with us. It began with God. God so loved, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ what? Died for us. Everything begins with God. And I think it'd be good for us today in just a practical terms, and whether you are a man or a woman, whether you've been saved for decades or a few weeks, that you would just remind yourself, God is where it's at. He started everything, and I need to give credit to Him for creation. I need to give credit to Him for bringing me to His Son, Jesus Christ. He needs to get credit. He starts everything. He says God sent Gabriel to this young lady there in Nazareth. Verse number 27. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. I want you to notice here, the angel came to her and said, Hail, God's with you. And you are very highly favored. And she thought, what kind of a greeting is this? What does this mean? But I love the part here. It says, the Lord is with you. By the way, do you have the conscious awareness of God with you? I'm so glad when I got saved that one thing I do know for sure, that God will never leave me nor forsake me. I will never be unborn. I will always have His presence. He said, the Lord is with you. By the way, you can have God's presence and not live in God's presence. Once you're saved, Jesus will never leave you. But knowing His presence in your life is called the fear of the Lord. And here, she was confirmed that God was with her. By the way, that's one of the greatest things you need in your life. A man or a woman, a father or a husband, a wife or a mother, a son or a daughter, one of the greatest gifts you can give those around you is the confidence that God is with you, the fear of the Lord. Let's continue if we can. And here, of course, the angel says to her in verse number 30, the angel said unto her, Fear not, don't be afraid, Mary, for thou hast found favor or grace with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Jesus, meaning Jehovah, is our Savior. Verse number 30. And he shall be great. I like to encourage you, if you're in the habit of underlining things in your Bible, underline that. When God uses the word great, it is never like, oh, that's great. That's great. You know, how was your lunch? It was great. When he says great, it's like it's over the top. He said, He shall be great. And notice what it will be. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of the father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? I don't think it was a question of doubt. It was a question of mechanics. How will that work? I've never known a man. I'm a virgin. How will this take place? And thank God, God didn't say, that's none of your business. That's for you, me to know and you to find out. He explained to him what would happen. To her, what would happen. Look at verse number 35. And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And so he says, and behold, thy cousin, thy kinswoman, Elizabeth, she hath also conceived in her son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. So Mary has an unbelievable experience. 6 months after her cousin Elizabeth disappears and goes off into hiding, she gets a visit from the angel of the Lord, and he tells her what's going to happen. And all of this is hard to take in for her. He says, listen, one person that's got a miracle like you in a different way is going to be your cousin Elizabeth. And with God, nothing's impossible. By the way, this reminds me, exercise faith in God. We love a God and we serve a God that can do the impossible. Some of you are facing some very difficult times. Oh, you look great today. You came to church. You maybe have a Bible under your arm. You may have a spring in your step. But you know and God knows that it's a difficult being you today. And there's some things that are just kind of like, I'm not so sure I can make it. I'm not so sure what God's going to do there. But remind yourself to have faith in God. One of the times when difficulties and fear come, one of the first things we ought to do is offer God gratitude and confidence. Say, God, thank you that you're going to help me through this, and Lord, I believe in you. The Apostle Paul said this, I believe, therefore have I spoken. And have faith in God. And the angel said, with God, all things are possible. You can do it. God's going to do all this for him. Well, then Mary has this great news that she has, and all of this is pre-Christmas time. And we're in the pre-Christmas time. So all this is processed, and now she says, I don't think I can stick around and keep this to myself. I got to go find my cousin. And so she did. Let's look what the Bible says in verse number 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutations of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of my salutation sounded in my ears, the babe, 6 months old now, within the womb, obviously a living creature, leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, and there shall be a performance of those things which were told from her from the Lord. Here we find that she goes and sees her cousin. She comes in and she knocks on the door. Zacharias is there and Elizabeth. And when her husband greets Mary, Elizabeth's womb begins to jump. The John the Baptist within the womb, filled with the Spirit of God. Of course, this is pre-cross days, but he's filled with the Spirit of God. And his mother is filled with the Spirit of God. And Mary, no doubt, is filled with the Spirit of God. And when she walks in to greet them, Elizabeth says, Oh, ho, ho! What in the world? And she said, Boy, and she said, Look, you're going to be the mother of the Lord. And she said, Yes, how did you know? Why? She was Spirit-filled. By the way, I just want to say another point here real quickly before we get to the meat of the message today and close. You and I ought to seek out Spirit-filled friends. And we ought to be Spirit-filled friends. Whenever you're with me, I should make you better. And when I'm with you, you should strengthen me. If we're Spirit-filled. Mary found a Spirit-filled friend at a time of her life where she needed one. You know, I wonder, Brother Hiles used to say years ago, not any children would go bad if they knew they had at least one friend. Was praying for a friend of mine this morning who was in a difficult way, and I was thinking, what should I do to be a better friend to that young person? What can I do? Well, I tell you, Spirit-filled friends think about things like that. And they try to act on what they're thinking about. She went to a Spirit-filled friend. Now, let's just go to the song she sang. Let's go to the praise that she did, and let's take a few moments, if we can, in closing. Because today is primarily for those of us who are Christians. This is a wonderful story, but this is all preparations for the Christmas Day. Christmas Day would be 9 months away or so before she would have that baby in Bethlehem. But there are some things that were going on in Mary's heart that need to go on in our heart. In this particular song, 15 references to the Old Testament scriptures are made in this one prayer. I just will say this to you. You'll never praise God and do what God wants you to be if you and I are not filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And we'll never be filled with the Spirit of God until we're Word-filled. I want to encourage you to take time every day to read the Bible. To think about the Bible. To listen to the Bible. To listen to messages. To attend church Sunday morning, Sunday night, midweek service. Get every time you can hear the Word of God in your heart. Our children are going to hell in a handbasket in our country and around our community. And oftentimes it's because of what Isaiah said in Isaiah 54, verse number 13. He said, if you can teach the people the word of kids, the word of God, expose them to the Lord, great will be the peace of our children. I sometimes sit across public schools and I thank God for what God is doing through our ladies going into public schools. And I was in a public school last week helping serve a Thanksgiving meal and was very grateful to be there. But often then I see the children come out of school and walk down the street and I see disillusionment. I see anger. I see confusion. And no peace because they do not know the Bible. They do not know the God of the Bible. But may I say to you, you can sit in the foyers of this church and you can see the same hopelessness oftentimes in God's people. It's not because of what it's because we do not spend time in the Scriptures. You know, anybody who's a communist leader, they have to get rid of the Bible. Because you cannot enslave a Bible-believing, practicing people. You can't do that. The Bible says you can know the truth And the truth what? Makes us free. It makes us free people. And many people are caught up with captivities, addictions, because they do not know the truth. And the truth obviously is the Word of God, but also the Jesus of the Word. Let's look real quickly if we can at this particular psalm that she sings. Now she steps away from Elizabeth, and the Bible records her few verses here of the song she sang as she seeks to glorify God through songs, preparing her heart for Christmas Day. And I think there's things that we can do the same. Number one, verse number 46, the Bible says this, "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For He hath regarded the low estate of the handmaiden, and for behold, from henceforth to all generations shall call me blessed. And He that is mighty hath done to me great things. And holy is His name. And His mercy is upon them that fear Him from generation to generation. He hath showed them strength of His arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of the heart. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He hath sent away, empty away." Would you read verse 54 and 55 with me, would you please? "He hath opened His servant, Here we find a psalm or a song that she sang to the Lord. Once again, 15 references to the Old Testament in this praise song that she sings. But as she prepared for Christmas Day, here are some things that came to her mind we can see here. Number one, as she prepared for Christmas Day, there gave reasons for praise. Number one, Christmas gives reason to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 46. The Bible tells us that in verse number 46, "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord." For Christmas, for a child of God, and by the way, of course, I've already said this already this Christmas season, but it's amazing how the world wants to get Christ out of Christmas. Things like this are outlawed. Because that involves, you don't ever see someone put ex-ween, ex-giving. But let's put ex-Christmas. Let's keep Christ out of Christmas. Very telling things there, friends, in our society. But you know, Christmas for a child of God, for the next few days that we have from now until Christmas Day, if I don't know how many days there are, but ask any of my children, they'll be able to tell you how many days till Christmas. But for the next several days, you have a chance, number one, to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. To make much of Him. To tell folks about Him. You have a chance because for a few days, everybody is happy. They're, of course, I know they don't want to say Merry Christmas. I'm glad to say Merry Christmas. Everybody's happy holidays and it's all about family. It's all about gifts. It's all about that. It's all commercial. I understand that. But I do have a chance to talk about Christ. At Christmas time, it gives us an opportunity to magnify the Lord. And as she prepared for Christmas Day, she said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." What will you do? How will you your thinking, your feelings, and your emotions be about Christ? Number two, we find in verse number 47, "My spirit doth rejoice in God my Savior." Does your spirit rejoice in the Lord? Does it rejoice in the person of Jesus Christ? Dear friend, I've talked to you about this, and I believe this to be case, that each of us ought to mention the name of Jesus Christ often throughout a day's time. We should write it on our text. We should email it. It ought to come off the end of our fingers onto the screen. Jesus Christ. Our spirit should rejoice. When's the last time you rolled off bed, out of bed, and you stepped up and you said, "Lord Jesus, thanks for another day"? When's the last time you grabbed the steering wheel of your car and said, "Lord Jesus, thank You for letting me drive. Thank You. I love the heat. I don't like being cold. When I'm cold, my toe goes numb." But boy, I thought about this. We were talking with the kids the other day. I was on my drive on the way to school. I said, "Well, let's think about some things to be thankful for." And the thing I thought for is a warm place. If you're cold, you can get warm. But we ought to thank the Lord Jesus Christ. Our spirit should rejoice in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to rejoice in our salvation. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our You want to talk about something that someone is weak and when they forget what God did for them in Christ. As we prepare for Christmas, we should magnify the Lord. We should rejoice in the person of Christ. Look at verse number 48. The Bible says, "For she said, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, and henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, and he that is mighty hath done to me great things. Holy is his name." I think another thing to do at Christmas time we can do is humble ourselves because of God's blessings. Humility is very attractive. Pride, God resists. It's very important wherever you are and whoever you're ministering to exercise humility. And she said, you know what? You've understood the low estate of thy handmaiden. And yet, for generations to come, you have blessed me. You're going to bless my name. Maria is a Spanish name after Mary. My sister's name is Mary. Many precious ladies are named Mary. And yet, for all the world over, most people are familiar with Mary, the Virgin. And yet, she says, because of what you're going to do in my life, I want to practice humility. Humility. Are you a humble person? Would your neighbor say you're humble? Would your brother, your sister? Would your mom, your dad? Would your friends? Would your co-laborers and co-workers, would they say they're a humble person? Or would they say, no, they're just full of themselves. They're prideful. They're arrogant. Why would I ever want to respond to them? Christmas is an opportunity for us to magnify the Lord, to rejoice in Jesus Christ, and to humble ourselves because of God's goodness. It's also, I want you to notice quickly in closing, verse number 50. Read it with me out loud, would you please, everyone? And His mercy is on them that fear Him. One more time, read it together. And His mercy. I want you to notice here, the Bible says that as she sings this song to the Lord and brings glory to God before Christmas, she says, you know what? I'm thankful for God's mercy is available to those that fear Him. You know, I think the fear of the Lord is something most people do not understand. When you hear fear of the Lord, you think, oh, it means someone's going to be afraid of God. Well, now, there is a natural element, and you should be afraid of God to some extent. He's bigger than you. You're going to have to give an account to Him one day. There should be an element of very much reverence and respect. I always get nervous when someone says, oh, the old man upstairs. Or talk of God as like, you know, just somebody who's just a common person. But, you know, fear of God means to recognize that He is with you right now. Whether you're in the balcony or the main floor, whether you're by yourself in your den, whether you're in your car looking across your iPhone or your phone, whether you are at work or whether you are by yourself or with the masses, you're never without God's presence. And He said, for those who recognize me, I will extend mercy to them. Mercy to all those that recognize Him. Dear friend, I want to encourage you today to recognize the Lord. And that's what she said. He says, Christmas gives us a chance to attract God's mercy by fearing Him. I wish I could speak a whole message on fearing Him. But I will say this. Let me close with this. And you'll see the last thing in verse number 51. The Bible tells us this. And He hath showed His strength. He showed His strength in several ways. He scatters the proud. He puts down the mighty. He exalts those that are humble and low degree. Verse 53. He hath filled, He satisfieth us with good things. And the rich He hath sent away empty. And He helpeth His people. Dear friend, as we think about Mary and her song today, I'd like to ask you, as you prepare for Christmas, would you go back to your Bibles and think about these things? As you go to Christmas, we have reason to magnify the Lord, to rejoice in the person of Jesus Christ, to tell others about Him and to humble ourselves in our communities and love God's people and love others and remember His blessings and then remember His faithful mercies to us. And then also remind ourselves of His strength. You know, God is the one who puts up one and sets down another. He's the one who's provided everything. We can trust Him. And Mary, at this day before Christmas, remembered these things. I'd like to encourage you to remember the same things. Let's pray together, can we? Thank you for your attention today. As we walk through things that are pre-Christmas in nature, I do not know all that God wants me to know, but I do know this. I want to be a friend, and I want to be someone who magnifies the Lord, and so do you. But before we go into that, maybe there's someone today, you say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I died I'd go to heaven, but I'm concerned about that. See, you'll never understand Christmas, and you'll never enjoy eternity with Christ unless you're saved, unless you're born again. Let me ask this question. How many say, Pastor, I know for sure I'm saved. I don't deserve to go to heaven, but I am going to heaven because I've accepted Jesus Christ. Would you lift your hand in testimony of that? Thank you very much. Put your hands down. I'm glad you can raise your hand. I can too, not because I deserve to, but because Jesus saved me. Is there anyone today say, Pastor, I could not answer yes to that, but I am concerned. I'm not sure if I died I'd go to heaven, but please pray for me. Would you lift your hand? Anybody like that? Hold it up high. God bless you. Anyone else? Looking in the balcony. Anyone in the balcony? God bless you. Anyone else? If you're not sure if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven. Please don't leave without Jesus. Let someone take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Say, Pastor, I don't know who to talk to. You can come as soon as we begin to sing. Let someone take the Bible and show you that. But today, for mostly, it's for those of us who are Christians. If you are saved, would you ask God, Lord, help me to magnify You in my life? Help me to rejoice in the person of Jesus. Help me to attract Your mercy because I fear You. Help me to humble myself because of Your blessings and to experience Your strength in my life. How many would pray prayers like that today from your heart? Would you do that with me? Let's stand together. Maybe you've been saved and you want to follow the Lord in baptism. You can come this morning.